You're listening to The Practical Wealth Show with Curtis May.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome to another episode of The Practical Wealth Show. So I'm excited to have another great guest for you guys. And Anna Myers. Anna Myers is serves as the Vice President at Grow Capitus, a commercial real estate investment company based in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so let me tell you about Anna. Anna is a third generation commercial real estate entrepreneur who applies her 25 years plus years experience in technology and business to finding, analyzing, and acquiring asset managing companies, properties, and key markets across the United States. And together with her business partner, Neil Bawa, they approach real estate through a data lens to create compelling profits for over 2,000 investors. But here's another thing I want to, and we're going to talk about this today. She's the lead underwriter of the company, but she also teaches deal analysis for Multifamily U, which runs quarterly boot camps. So if you wanted to learn how to be a multifamily investor and to scale your business now, this show is for you. Anna, welcome to the Practical Wealth Show.
Thank you. It's so awesome to be here with you.
Oh, my pleasure to have you. So, Anna, tell them what did I leave? I know I left out a lot, but tell them what I didn't tell them, which you want to know.
Okay, sure. Well, when people ask me what I do, the simplest explanation is I am a professional plate spinner. I basically run the operations of the company for Grow Capitus, which is a syndication company, as well as Multifamily University, which is our education portal. We are a very data-oriented company. We're all about systems and processes. That's how we run our projects. It's also how we run our business. And I am the person that's keeping all the plates spinning so that we can successfully do all the projects that we're doing.
Okay. So tell them, I'm going to go into Multifamily U, but tell them about Grow Capitus, what you guys are doing. And how you run that business, and what you do.
So Grow Capitus was founded in May of 2018. So we haven't been around that long. Mm-hmm. But my business partner Neil had previous experience in multifamily syndication, and I was looking to scale into it. So, but since May of 2018, now we're in June of 2020. We had a small pause because of Corona, but yeah. We have acquired over 1,800 units. We have 13 projects going right now that we've purchased with investors in that time frame. So we're very good at finding great projects for investors using data and a set of guidelines that Neil has created to really protect the investors' capital. So that mm-hmm. we're in the most ideal markets and the most ideal neighborhoods within those markets so that there is cash flow. Because if you're mm-hmm. in the perfect place, there might be no cash flow because it's like, well, the place is too expensive, right? So there's this Goldilocks zone that we're always looking for to put our place investors' money. And that's worked really well for us because, as I said, we've acquired all this stuff. Now Corona's hit and many people are saying, well, how are your apartments doing now? You know what? They're doing great because we bought so carefully. So the apartments are doing, the collections are doing well. We're not off by much at all. In fact, we're doing better than the national trends for apartment collections. And I will tell you that we're very, very happy to be in apartment buildings as our investment right now compared to, hotels or, so many other businesses
for sure. Yeah.
That are really struggling. But a place to live is an essential need. So that, in this recession, a multifamily is going to come out ahead. It's only been scathed, very, very small scathing compared to a lot of the other commercial assets. So we're super thrilled that we're in it. And we're also very glad that we are a disciplined, data-oriented company. And it has proven to be the right method. And one of the things we look at is Forbes came out with a list not too long ago. They came out with an article that says the 10 markets that are likely to excel after Corona or post-Corona, right, and the 10 markets to avoid. Well, in those 10 markets that are going to excel, we are in 5 of those markets.
Wow.
And then the ones that are the 10 that are like, don't invest there, we're in none of those. So that's the power of data and the power of always innovating and looking at data and trying to create compelling results. We are in the places that, because they have strong fundamentals, because they're forward thinking, because they're moving forward, it's not surprising that when you take a big hit like this from you know, who knows, like a black swan comes into our lives.
Right.
You want to be in the markets and the neighborhoods within those markets that are going to be the most resilient. That's our objective. Who knew that this was going to come? But something was going to come. So by using, again, disciplined data-oriented approach, we really believe in it, and it's been a very good thing.
Something's always going to come. And so yep. You have to be, I'm reading, or unless you listen to Anti-Fragile.
Oh.
And most people are fragile, you know,
yeah.
And so you have to, it's, you know, prepare. Well, so anti-fragile means that even in black swan events,
mm-hmm.
you perform better.
That's right. More resilient.
Which you're more resilient. And so that's what you've done through data, through looking at markets. And then I want you to hear the growth that they've had. And when did you start? 2000?
We started in 2018.
So this is 2 years.
Yeah, and just 2 years, yes.
Just 2 years. And so they've acquired a lot of properties because, you know, now here's why that's important. Because Anna is an instructor at their second business, which is teaching you how to do what they do.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Called Multifamily U.
University. And, yeah, we actually
right?
changed the name from Multifamily U to Multifamily University.
Oh, University. Okay.
Yeah, so, but you'll see it referred to both ways. Mm-hmm. And we are really all about empowering investors with information. We provide lots of free webinars. So I'm hosting webinars, at least one, if not two a week. Mm-hmm. Neil speaks at a lot of webinars. We have hosts. We do a lot of stuff. It's all free content because we're all about education and promoting just knowledge that people can make good decisions. And then for people that want to get into the depths and really learn how we do like the full on details,
yeah.
That is that there's a paid boot camp that is quarterly. In fact, I was just on your website or the website that has your podcast. And I saw that Leslie Awesome
yes.
Was on. Well, he's one of our boot camp students.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Leslie.
And they're killing it. I reviewed his
yeah.
partner also.
So they went to our, they went to yeah. our boot camp, I want to say 6 months ago and are now killing it. So yeah, Leslie's
and they
a great
just
example.
Closed on, I think at the end of last month, a 49-unit building.
Mm-hmm.
And their goal is to have like 500 by the end of the year.
That's right.
And
so they went to our boot camp and they're in the Washington, D.C. area. And a great example of students
yeah.
that are just have just really, and I love that they came together too. So the two partners both came, both got the same level of education and then just took off there.
I'm glad you said that. I did not yeah. know that. And so by the time this comes out, they'll both, for their interviews will be out. So that'd be really
Tenny's,
cool.
Tenny's
that.
Great
yeah.
too. Yeah. We talked to Tenny and Leslie. We talk fairly often.
So that's cool. So the proof is in the pudding. Okay.
Right.
So I really like that. And because what you've got to do is if you want to, so there's a lot of people that do single families, got, you know, 3, 4, 5 single families. And when people, and so what's cool is that you give them a chance to experience you through the free workshops and to see through the webinars to see if, okay, look, I think I want to try this out. And then they, you know, they have the ability to look at that. But what is going on, I think, with the people mentally that you're dealing with that are doing stuff and then start to follow you and want to make that transition? What would you say holds people back? Let's start with that.
Well, I think that there's a general sense in the past year or so, maybe the last few years, that multifamily is the way to go because people are saying, like, it seems so much easier, like, instead of having 17 single-family homes, that if I had a 20 unit building that seems to be easier. So they understand that. I think people intuitively understand that it would be
mm-hmm.
easier, but then I think they're held up because they are scared of the commercial loan because they're used to the residential loans. Right. Mm-hmm. And then instead of having this 30-year, you know, fixed Fannie Mae loan, they're going to have to get a commercial loan, and that's scary, and it's 5 to 7 years, and they don't understand it, and what does that mean? It also, in multifamily, you often have to work in teams. And that's one thing I had to overcome, because I definitely was all about just, you know, me and my husband building our portfolio.
Right.
In order to truly scale in multifamily, it is a team sport. When you're, you know, running 1,800 units, you can't do it on your own. You need to have partners that you trust, partners that you're going to work with for a while. Everybody's playing a different role, bringing their A game to the table. So that's a big mental shift for people too, to say, I don't have anyone that I can trust that I want to do business with, blah, blah, blah. You know, so I think those two things is that the commercial loans and working in a team. But once you get over those, multifamily scales so much better. And the magic of multifamily, where when you're working with single family, the value of your home is basically the value of the rental that you own is dependent on what your neighbor's house is worth or across the street. That's how they value your residence.
Right.
In multifamily, it's a business, and it's the way they evaluate multifamily is that it's the net operating income, which is basically your income minus your expenses. That's how you get your net operating income divided by the cap rate of the market. Okay. So what I can do as an owner of multifamily is I can increase my NOI by adding, you know, increasing my rents, decreasing my expenses. So that increases my NOI divided by that same cap rate. I can create millions of dollars of value because that I can control. I can't control my neighbor.
Yeah.
And they're not going to look at the rents I'm charging on my single family and say, well, your house is worth more than your neighbor's. That's not how they do it. But in multifamily, it's a formula. And that is the true magic. Once I realized that, because I used to invest in single family and duplexes and all that. Once I got that as a math person, I was like, oh, single family, goodbye. Like never investing in single family again, always going commercial now. And that's, you know, because we have influence over to create value. That's the whole thing. You're able to create
influence
value.
Is key. See, people, if you study, you know, financially independent wealthy people, one of the things they want to have a certain level of expertise, and they must have control, because you can influence.
That's right.
You can literally force, like you said, through the rent, through running your numbers, appreciation, and force the growth. And that, and so talk about this. So, because a lot of people say, well, I can't do commercial. My credit is less than ideal. My personal credit is less than ideal.
It doesn't have anything to do with your personal credit. So when you're getting a commercial loan, and this is again, where you may need partners, it's all about the asset. You know, you can have bankruptcies and you know, foreclosures on your record, but it doesn't eliminate you from being able to be a team member on a multifamily project and own multifamily.
Yeah.
The asset is what the bank is looking at mostly. Now, you can't have like a criminal record. I mean, bad actor clauses and that type of thing. And then you can also, when you're first starting out in multifamily, especially if you're buying like a 60 unit, or I mean, if it's a 5 unit, that's one thing. But if you're getting into like a 40 unit, 60 unit, and you don't have experience in that, the bank might want you to have somebody on your team that does have experience. Yeah. And that person's playing kind of a mentorship role. They might just sign on the loan. But you're running the day-to-day. And that's also a good thing, because you're learning from somebody that, and so the bank is going to require that. The banks have different requirements depending on what type of loan you have, what type of market you're in. But don't look at it as a bad thing. If you've got to get another person on your team, that's an opportunity to learn from somebody that knows so much more than you. So you give up a little piece of your deal because they're going to own, now they become part of the you know, partnership. But how much do you gain? And in my eyes, you gain tremendous value because you couldn't do that without that person.
Right.
You wouldn't have
that. And that's only your first deal.
And then down the road, you might be doing that for somebody else.
You're
taking a piece of their deal, and all you're doing is signing on a loan. And by the way, value add loans are non-recourse, so they can't come after you. All they're going to do is come after the asset.
Right.
So signing on a loan can be a very low risk thing if you trust the team in place. Now, if the whole thing falls apart, then they're going to bring that person back in to run it. So if things go bad, you know, you are on the hook for running the asset as the experienced person. But if it's a good asset and things are going well, it's a pretty easy job just to sign on a loan and collect a piece of it in the future.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to your data driven. If you're we're all in the arithmetic business. See, most businesses fail because all the numbers tell a story. And, you know, to quote Kiyosaki, most people don't know how to read the numbers.
That's right.
And they don't know the story. The numbers, they don't understand the story. It's like, if you don't understand financial statements, you can look at it and go, huh, this is not going to work, you know, in like 5 minutes.
Right. That's right.
And, yeah. Or maybe a little bit longer, but you know what I mean? You can, it's kind of like the Matrix, right? You know, you see Neo at the end of the Matrix, because see the Matrix. That's right. Why I find people like you, when they see financial statements, it's like, okay, da da da. And you can see the numbers flowing through your, you know, they're in motion. Yeah. In your mind.
Absolutely. We look at that. We look at demographics that way. So that's how we choose properties, how we underwrite properties. And then that's also how we manage properties. Hmm. So, you know, we like to say, you know, you can't manage what you don't measure. So we're all about data about the properties that we're managing, and mm-hmm. not just the P&L, not just the profit and loss statements, like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of other data that we're collecting and running trends on and observing to predetermine a trend that's happening, that if we didn't do these, create these charts and manage the data and request all kinds of extra data from our property managers, if we didn't do that, then we wouldn't see the trend, and it would slap us in the face 2 months later.
Yep.
So again, so the way we look at data runs through everything we do, all of our systems, all of our processes. And again, this is what we teach in the Multifamily University, is how to manage the asset after you buy it. It's not just acquiring it. Right. That's when the marathon gun goes off. Now is the real race, right?
Right.
Now you got to manage that sucker.
And that's our art form in of itself, but that goes back to business. And Russo, as you hear this, like, whatever your business is, everything she says applies to that.
That's right.
There's a lot of data points. And so, like, so for example, when you're looking at, I don't think people think about this, like, they'll look at the price. Price is just one way to determine the asset. It may not be about the price, but talk about, for example, demographics and how you pick areas, you know, as a component of all of the data points that you look at. I think just hearing your thought process through that would be helpful.
Sure. So when we are looking at a project, and people bring us projects all the time, we're pretty well known in the industry. We raise money like nobody's business. We raised $53 million in 2019, which I think is some kind of a record. That's all us raising money. We don't use other people to raise money for us. So people are always, you know, they want to partner with us. They're bringing us projects and they're saying, yeah, I'll send you my underwriting. Here's, you know, that I said, I don't need to see any of that. All I need for you to do is to send me the address. Send me the address, and then I'll tell you if I'm even interested in seeing the underwriting. They say, but it's a screaming deal. The returns are amazing, but I don't want to hear any of that. Just send me the address, and I'll tell you if I'm even interested about it. So from that address, what am I learning? Well, first of all, I'm going to learn what city it's in. Okay, yep. So from the city level, I'm looking at the metro, and I'm looking at population growth. Mm-hmm. So we want to see very strong population growth. We do not invest anywhere that's losing population, period. Mm-hmm. Just won't do it. So we're looking for a very specific trend of population growth of 20% between the year 2000 to 2017. We use all free sources to do this, by the way. I mean, we actually use a paid source, but when we teach it, we teach all using all free sources, and it is a free course that we have online. So all these things I'm going to tell you, you can go and get all the glorious details and do it yourself with all free sources. So population, next thing is jobs. So we're looking at job growth in the area, and we want to make sure that we'd like to see jobs at 2% or higher in that area. Then we're also looking at crime. We want to see crime declining over the years in the city. So, and we don't want it to be above 500. That number comes from citydata.com.
Okay.
Lots of sites that measure crime, and they all have different ways of measuring it. And then we go into condo value, house value. So house value has to have increased 40% or greater in between the years 2000 to 2017. So we're seeing prices rising in that area. Okay, so those are like the basics at the city level. Now I get down to the micro neighborhood area. Okay, that's where a lot of people miss out. They just look at the city And they go, yeah, I do jobs and population, blah, blah, blah. That's how, why I'm in the city. But they don't get the micro neighborhood. That's where that address is going to give me the, all the gold. So from that address, I'm evaluating an area of about half a mile around that, that address. Hmm. And I'm looking at median household income, poverty level, ethnic diversity, unemployment, things like that. For median household income, we have a requirement for a value-add multifamily that the income has to be $40,000 or greater. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. If the median household income of that micro neighborhood is like $28,000, those people can't afford to pay you rent 12 months out of the year.
Right.
So we're not going to invest there. So you see a lot of deals where people come through, they go, oh, you're going to make so much money. Look at, you know, there's the rents, blah, 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 blah. But right. The median household income is so low, you're going to have tons of
delinquency. Yeah, you have to be able to collect that rent.
You won't right. be able to collect so it.
You got
to
have jobs. You got to have income. Yeah, yeah. And see, the thing is, so see, I want you to hear the correlation between they're still collecting money.
Right. The potential to collect money is one thing.
Yes.
But actually collecting it is another thing.
Through the crisis, because they picked an area
right.
and picked the marketplace to make sure that their asset performs. See, there's...
That's right. So delinquency, bad debt yes. and delinquency are the terrible thing in a portfolio. And in multifamily, mm-hmm. if people aren't paying you rent, that's just 100% profit that you're losing.
Right.
And so they're, you know, they go for how many months? Now that's another thing that we look for is we only invest in landlord-friendly states. Because...
That's a biggie, yeah.
It's a very biggie because... If you are in an area that somebody's going to be, you know, maybe it's only one person that's
right.
the person not paying you rent, but that person doesn't have to move out for a year and a half.
Right.
You have lost a lot of
money.
So
you might not want to invest in Philly. So,
yeah, no, we don't. We only invest right. in, and yeah. besides looking at the state, we have learned actually to look at the county level because just because a state is landlord friendly doesn't mean that the county will be able to execute fast enough to get people out.
Yes.
We have properties in Georgia and we have one county where it takes 6 to 9 weeks after it's, you know, an eviction has been filed to actually get somebody off the property. The sheriffs actually show up. Mm-hmm. In that same state, in a different county, it's 2 weeks. There's a big difference. You know, you start adding that up over time to get somebody off the property in 2 weeks versus 6 to 9 weeks. First of all, if people are going to be out in 2 weeks, you have a lot less people playing games.
Right.
Because what are they going to do? You know, so they're much more like going to do payment plans and work with you, or it is a big deal because delinquency, people not paying their rent is one of the biggest damages to the profit. And if you are investing with other people's money, it is your responsibility to deliver profit.
Let me ask you this. One of the things that's interesting now that I know where Leslie and Tenny came from, when I was interviewing Leslie, what struck me that they started in multifamily, right? And so now hearing you and hearing what now that makes a lot of sense, but because it seems like if you have a, you know, and he still has a full-time job and, but going through your, he told me he went through something, but I didn't know it was this, right? And he had I was like, how do you have the confidence? Okay, your first deal is going to be 147 unit apartment building. That is a result of, you know, multifamily university I'm hearing. And do you find, is it any harder to start with learning how to do multifamily than, you know, well, I need to get my teeth, like right now, having the choice, if you knew what you knew now, would you have even started with single families or would
no,
you
I wouldn't
right
have started with single families. I would have gone straight to multifamilies decades ago. Yeah.
So people, if you're hearing this, you could start. If you, I want to get into real estate investing, or I want to build this business, I want to do multifamilies, would you say it's possible to
Yeah, but remember, start? It's a team sport. I say right. it's definitely possible because you're not going to go out there and try and do it on your own. You're going to become part of a team,
right.
and you're going to learn, you know, you're going to cut your teeth with a team. Instead of cutting your teeth on single family,
right?
You know, which is like, oh, I'll make $20 a month after I pay, you know,
right.
and then if somebody, and then, or what is it? They say if you're making $100 a month, that's a good thing, right? Like
right,
that's like,
right.
like thumbs up, $100 a month. But then what happens when somebody moves out and then you've got to replace all that stuff and you don't have somebody move in for 6 weeks, you've just lost all of your, you know, the whole income for the whole
I year. Know, I had to replace a heater. I lost all my profit for a year,
right.
you know, on this. on this one property.
Exactly. So imagine if you've got a multifamily and you have 100 units and you have, you know, people moving in, moving out, you have so much more buffer to cover that, you know?
Right.
And then you're able to push the value of the building, right? So
yeah, money loves speed. That's I think that's is control. And one of the things is that in order to do what Anna's talking about, you have to grow. You know, one of the things Kiyosaki always says, business is your team sport. So once you pick the asset class, you've got to learn to that it's not all about being a rugged individual.
That's right.
You do have to grow mentally and learning how to vet team members and, you know, all that good stuff. You talk about that or tell them, you know, how they would begin to even mentally make that mental transition. Because see, most of this is mental. I think most of it's mental.
Yeah. Well, I think it starts definitely with education. I mean, that's where, how I got into multifamily was, mm-hmm. you know, I was doing a lot of real estate from my family background and that type of thing, but they weren't into apartment buildings. They were doing like commercial real estate. My dad's an architect. My grandfather mm-hmm. owned a lot of property and developed a lot of properties. So I wasn't a developer. I didn't end up in that tract, but I knew how important commercial real estate was and that it was a great way to make wealth. But they didn't say, hey, buy apartment buildings, you know? That came later. I had to investigate that on my own. But I would say education is the best. You know, you got to start with education. Start with free education. Read a lot of books. Set goals for yourself. I actually transitioned. I was a full-time photographer. Mm. I had a photography business for 18 years. After my tech career, owned my own business as a photographer and realized that I basically owned a job and I would never be able to retire from it.
Right.
So I strategically was figuring out like, well, what am I going to do to create, to scale into something that's going to really fit the next phase of my life. And I came back to real estate. And so then I set a 5-year plan to exit my studio, which I was a very good career. I was a very successful photographer. To exit the studio and be a full-time real estate investor. In that time frame is when I just dived into education, bought some more single families, duplexes, and realized that I needed to go into multifamily. So it took me 4 years to exit my studio instead of 5. But I think setting goals for yourself and then biting off chunks as you go and continuing to push yourself, mm-hmm. you know, it is a goal worth having to create a new life for yourself and your family. That's what I also love about multifamily, that you're creating multi-generational wealth. So that's a very strong pull for me. I have a large family with my husband. I want my grandchildren to be able to go to college and their, my great grandchildren, I want their education to be funded by things I'm doing now. And that's possible.
Right.
I could never do that with a photography to be like, oh, this picture I'm taking now is going to send my child to college. That, you know, there's only so many Annie Leibovitzes in the world.
Right.
So, but with real estate,
I love that because that's the reason to do all this stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, is if you're not, it's being in business is a pain in the butt. if you're not in it to become, you know, financially independent, and it's really your fast with the leverage. This is really your, you know, business and real estate are your fastest path to cash.
Absolutely. And the other thing to know is that this is an amazing time to get into multifamily and commercial real estate because we are going to see a dip in prices. We've been at the height of the market mm-hmm. for the last 2 or 3 years. It's been very hard to find deals. Well, right now everything's on pause because we're in early July of 2020.
Right.
So, but things are starting to pick up again. And there's going to be deals coming. So for people that are, you know, looking to get into multifamily, there's going to be lots of opportunity in the next 6 to 9 months. So it's a great time to get educated and start, you know, underwriting deals, learn how, like, what the heck is underwriting?
Right,
like
right,
learn
right.
what that is, learn how to underwrite, learn what your superpower is. Maybe you're not a numbers person, but you're going to have something else, some other. All of your life experiences, you're going to have something that's special about you that's going to make you a great team member, you know, that's going to plug in that extra special ingredient to make your multifamily team shine. So that's the other thing people should know, that everybody has things to give that's going to make them successful in multifamily. It's not just people that do numbers and data. For those of you that are turned off by that, there's lots of other roles to play.
That is a really good point. And the other thing is you have to think. You know, one of the things that we teach is you have to see We call it the seven principles of prosperity, right? So it's think from a prosperous mindset. See the big picture, like think from a macro perspective. So if you're seeing, then you're saying, okay, we've got, because always where we've been talking about on the other side of crisis is opportunity. So there's going to create opportunity. So you have to, it's like surfing, like you've got to start swimming to catch that wave. So that wave is going to crest in 6 to 9 months, but you can't be at month nine and say, hey, I want to start. I mean, you might be some stuff there, but you've got to learn how to do it.
Right. This is a great opportunity time. And there's so many ways to do. There's so many books, there's so many podcasts. So, you know, take your time with a bunch of free content and figure out, like, is this even something that sings to you? Does it make your heart sing? If it doesn't make your heart sing, you know, find something else that makes your heart sing that will create wealth for your family. I do believe that.
That will create wealth, right? That not because, you know, and I don't care. Nobody cares about your passion, right? You need to create,
I did my
create
passion
value in the marketplace.
With photography for many years and realized that, you know, and again, I was a very good business person and I generated money, but I realized I owned a job. And so, so find your passion that is going to create wealth and that will make your life simpler. But hopefully it's real estate. Yeah. Real estate is I think it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of ways to skin a cat. And so, you know, we talk about, you know, on the show, there's four asset classes, business, real estate, paper, assets, and commodities, right? So pick, you know, if you're diversified, you're in all four at some point, but you everybody has their favorites, but you've got you know, one of the things that we share is that your number one investment is you. Your number one asset is you. So you have to invest in your mindset. See, one thing I heard, and it's talking about it's mindset, skill set, network.
Yeah.
All right. And that's what produces revenue.
That's right. And for those people who are like, you know what, I realize that that real estate is an awesome asset class, but I just don't like it. Well, guess what? You can be a passive investor. So you can still get the benefits of that multifamily brings, including depreciation, so that you can write off a lot of your income as well as the income that's producing. So you get all the advantages and you can go and do your passion and just be passive and taking advantage of it. So you don't have to be the active investor. You can let the professionals do it and let them run it and you enjoy the income that comes from it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to learn to play this game called capitalism. And there's two sides. If you're a read Kiyawa, one of the things I would recommend is you read Cash Flow Quadrants. And Kiyosaki talks all about this. So you know, it's you are S, right? ES, employee, self-employed. And then you have to move to the B and the I side, which the tax system favors business owners and landowners, right? And so
tremendously.
You've got to learn to play the game. I always tell people, I was talking to somebody about tax, that listen, don't hate the player, hate the game. He's like, oh, my taxes went up, da, da, da. I said, well,
that's right.
Did you do anything to change the nature of your income? No, he's just mad. I said, all right, well, learn some, read a book. You know what I mean? And take control of your life. So, and I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Anna, tell them what would you have them do and where to go from. No, let me ask you before I say that.
Okay.
I want to know, this is for Curtis. You read anything good or interesting that maybe the last couple of, or maybe your favorite books or what's on your reading list or Audible list now?
Oh, I'm kind of taking a break from books right now. I have to say, I'm kind of reading a lot of news and maybe I'm taking in too much Corona news. I don't know. I'm kind of fascinated by the data of Corona.
Okay.
And I have to say, I'm a geek. So I'm spending a lot of time focused on that and looking at the demographics. So I'm doing a lot of market and demographic research about Corona. Mm-hmm. So that takes a lot of time. But books I love, if you're interested in syndication, I think that Joe Fairless has a great book. It's called The Best Ever Syndication Book, something like that. Awesome book. It's really well written. Never Split the Difference is another one that I really like by a guy that was the FBI agent, Chris Voss, I think is his name. Two excellent books.
All right. Thank you. So now I got two to add to my reading list.
Yeah.
So where should they go to find out more about Multifamily University or if they want to be a passive investor, how they can give you some money?
So the place to go to learn more about multifamily and Corona, we do a lot of Corona town halls, is multifamilyu.com. Mm-hmm. Again, lots of free content there. Amazing place. We are all about no pitch, no filler. So I think people are always amazed at how much content we give, because they expect to go to a webinar and have it be like really fluffy and like not right. much there. And you've invested all this time, and then there's some hook at the end.
Right.
That's not us. People are like, y'all give way too much information away for free. And we're like, that's how we roll. We believe the universe will give it back to us in spades. So, so multifamilyu.com, and then growcapitus.com, where is GROCAPITUS, growcapitus. That's where you can learn about our open investments, about our current portfolio. And we're happy to set up a phone call with you, learn about what you're looking for, what types of investments intrigue you. We do both new construction as well as value add, which makes us a little bit unique in the syndication space. Some people like value add, some people like new construction. Mm-hmm. We also have self-storage as well, as we're getting into some industrial and some of the other spaces that are more recession resilient, especially mm-hmm. given Corona times.
Anna, listen, that you've dropped some serious knowledge on our listeners today. I want to thank you again for being on the Practical Wealth Show. Anything I didn't ask you that I should ask you before I close? That's my catch-all. I make sure I didn't.
I think we got it covered. I'm just looking forward to seeing you again when a few months from now, hopefully the world will be in a better space.
Yes, absolutely. So guys, we're going to see you on the other side. Remember, this still don't stick your head in the sand. It's time to get up, get working, and get moving. Check it out. At some point, you're going to need to write a check, because there's only so much free stuff. And sometimes you have to pay to be in the right room. We reference I might put a link to that show on this show, but two people that are students of theirs, that this was their first deal, and he studied for about 6, 8, 9 months, but then he wrote a check. Okay.
Right.
And so, you got to pay to be, you got to pay to get good stuff, but they have a lot of stuff. So you can figure out if you want to do it, but make sure they're real, and they are real. And then you can take the next step. So you can.
Yeah. And I would also say that our education, when you do pay for the education piece, we're actually extremely well priced compared to mm-hmm. a lot of the other education. And there's no upsell. We don't try and upsell people into a $30,000 program. Mm-hmm. So if you look at our boot camp, which, runs anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500 for the virtual versus another person's might be $99. What do you think you're going to get out of the $99 one?
Not much. Upsell to the $5,000 ones, right?
No. They don't have $5,000 ones. They only have $30,000 ones.
Oh, no.
So you go from a $99, and then they're trying to get you to $30,000. Well, ours, the boot camp is the boot camp. There's no upsell to any coaching program or, like big thing. So it's pure content that we're giving you. So you're investing in what you're investing in is what you're getting. And people basically describe it that they felt like they were drinking from a fire hose.
Right.
That's how much information they were getting. And then you have access to the recordings for 12 months. So they're able to continually rewatch, re-engage, and learn. And I think that's quite a different experience from going to those $99 where you spend a weekend and you go, oh my God, they just pitched me the whole weekend.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. I've been to those. And so this, guys, is an investment. So those of you that follow the private banking and the private reserve strategy we teach, you take a policy loan, and you invest in this
so you
can learn how to make more money.
And it's a write-off.
Right?
There you go.
So it's all good, and because your number one asset is you. So you have
to
invest.
Right.
See, you got to invest. If you'll make more investing in yourself than giving money to some mutual funds. You have to understand that, okay? And once you are deciding that, okay, I'm in control of my life. See, that's why it's mostly mental. You've got to want to be in control of your life. You've got to learn how to create value. You've got to want to, I'll go off on another tangent, but this is, I'm excited. This is, I need to go through, I'm going to be on the course because I'm like, how can I create leverage quicker? And this is
there you go.
Exciting me. So people know my listeners know
check
I get excited.
Because,
yeah. I start talking fast and I get really hyped. So this is great. I'm very excited. So Anna, thank you so much for being
on
the Practical Wealth Show.
It's great being here with you.
My pleasure. All right, guys, go out there and make it a profitable day.
Thanks for listening to Practical Wealth. To access the show notes and resources, go to practicalwealthshow.com. To get your questions on the show, go to practicalwealthshow.com. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before you make any investment decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Practical Wealth. Written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.